Good morning, and thank you for inviting me here. It's a privilege for me to be here, especially on a Bible Sunday. I hope every Sunday is a Bible Sunday, especially on a place like this. And I hope you will be merciful over me as a non-English speaker. English is not my first or second or third language. So also, I've been fighting flu a little bit this week, so if my voice is a little bit worse than usually, please forgive. I'm very excited about today's reading. It's one of my favorite passages because it, of course, it shows Jesus as a Bible man. He is, I don't know if you've seen the pictures. I was looking yesterday on the internet. I googled the term Bible man, and I saw some comic strips and some pictures of a character that I think was created in America to bring the Bible into kids' attention. I don't think Bible man looks like one of those pictures. We see Jesus here as a Bible man. He is standing in Nazareth, in his hometown, in front of a congregation similar to what we have here today. And we see him for the first time publicly starting his ministry and actually announcing his program for his public ministry. Much in the same way that the political parties have been doing, even in the last days and weeks and months, unfortunately, in this country. What Jesus does is he doesn't come up with his talents, with his original ideas, with his powers, as a Bible man would do, or a Superman. He does something that was expected of every believer and still is. What he does is a pretty normal thing that we know is still expected of us today, but he actually does it. He takes the book and reads it. We know he is the Word of God made flesh. We know he's the Son of God. He knows it by this time. He heard the voice of the Father at his baptism just a chapter before this one. When the heaven opens and he hears the voice of God from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And he doesn't start his ministry by standing in front of the congregation and saying, "Have you heard that I am the Son of God? The skies opened and the dove came upon me. See, I am a special person." He does not do that. He takes and reads the Bible. The scroll is given to him, and according to the researchers, by this time there has not yet been a lectionary. Not just the Christian lectionary, but even in Judaism, the order of the readings has not been established yet at that time. So probably the choice has been made for the book of Isaiah, for the scroll, to be specific, of Isaiah to be handed to Jesus. But we hear Luke telling us quite in detail, which is quite interesting, that Jesus took the book and rolled and opened it in a specific place. So this shows me, and this shows us, I think, that Jesus knew Isaiah, he knew his Bible, and he knew where to find the place that he wanted to hear and to read that day. I also like the little phrase that Luke gives us in this text, that Jesus did this as was his custom. It was not something extraordinary. This was his custom. So Jesus is shown here as a Bible reader. It's we were told that this was his custom, and also the Bible reading took place in a community of believers. I think that is very, very important, that that the interpretation of Scripture is not a private matter. It's to happen in a community of believers. The second interesting thing I believe is that we can see the way Jesus read the Bible, how he interpreted it. And I think there are two words that stick out from the context. And the two words are me and today. He read the prophet's words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The word me is being repeated here, and I think this is something that stuck out from the context, and not just for this for the hearers, but for Jesus in the first place. I think what we have here is Jesus reading the Bible and receiving his identity from the Word of God. When Jesus was baptized in the preceding chapter, chapter 3 of Luke, the basic identity, the most revolutionary thing, or even the best thing anyone can ever hear, Jesus heard, "You are my son, my beloved. I'm pleased in you." I think that's the gospel. God telling us, "You're my children, you're my son, you're my daughter. I love you. I'm well pleased in you." Note that this is before Jesus ever does anything extraordinary, before he preaches the first sermon or does the first miracle. He knows he's loved. He knows he is a child of God. He knows God is on his side. Through an extraordinary experience at those waters of baptism. But here Jesus reads the Bible, and that experience from the third chapter is being confirmed and clarified. Not only is he a child of God, not only is he the beloved son, but the Word of God tells Jesus who he is more specifically. Jesus reads and confesses, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. I am the anointed one, Moshiach, Messiah." The Word of God became flesh for Jesus in this sense. It confirmed and clarified what he experienced in a personal religious experience, we could say. Here was an objective statement that was not something he heard or felt or experienced. This is written, and this helps Jesus to realize who he is. Sometimes we think Jesus was, and he was, of course, the Son of God. He was God, became man. But that doesn't mean he carried a heavenly ID with him. He didn't have any proof. It was through faith. It was a process, I believe, for him to realize who he is. At 12 years of age, we see him at the temple, calling it the house of his father. But then we don't hear of him until now, this point of baptism and now his first sermon in Nazareth. So the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Bible, we would say today, is a means for Jesus to acquire and to clarify and to confirm his identity, who he is, the anointed, the Messiah. He reads the Bible as if it was written about him, which of course was dangerous, especially in Galilee, especially in the political situation they were in. There were messianic movements at that time, just decades ago, just before what we read was happening here. There was a massive public unrest because of one of the messianic movements, and of course a lot of bloodshed and tragedy connected with that. So to read the Bible in such a way as Jesus was here, appropriating it for himself personally, was seen as dangerous. It's a holy book. It's about spiritual matters. It's about the heavenly kingdom. But Jesus reads and interprets the Bible personally. It's about me. He has anointed me. Identity, who I am. The second thing the Bible did for Jesus was not just identity, but a mission, a sense of meaning, of purpose. Not only who I am, but what am I here for? Not just I'm anointed with the Spirit, but I'm anointed by the Spirit to bring the good news to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. Basically, Jesus announces his program, his mission will be to both proclaim and to implement the good news to the poor, for the poor, captive, blind, oppressed. Basically, for people whose lives are bad news, whose lives are full of bad news. And he'll bring the good news, not just announce it, but to make it happen. What a mission, what a purpose in life. Can there be anything better that we can spend our life with than helping those who are in need? Is there any more noble, more satisfying, more fulfilling thing to do? I think these two issues, identity and purpose, of course are the two major areas where we are lost today. Many people struggle with psychological disorders. All of us suffer with stress and being disoriented so often. And if Jesus himself, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, took the Bible and read it for himself, appropriating it for his own life, if he needed that, how much more we need that? And if it worked for him, how much more it's probably going to work for us? Of course, we are all believers here. We believe in the Bible, but let's be honest, isn't the Bible often for us something like terms and conditions when we, let's say, when we use some software or online application, do we read those endless texts with small print and all that? I don't. I should. I guess I should, but I don't. I just click on agree. Isn't that the case often with our belief in the Bible? We agree, but it's long and it's small print, and who's got time for it? And we know what's in it anyway. I mean, millions of people agree with this, and so we agree as well. We know it's good. It works. But that was not enough for Jesus. He needed to read the Bible. And he drew his identity and his sense of purpose from it. How much more, this is true for us. If there would be a title to this sermon, it would be Tole Lege, the two Latin words made famous by Saint Augustine, who in the 4th and 5th centuries became famous by his conversion. And I guess most of you know the story, but he writes in his book Confessions about his conversion. He was struggling in his life. He wanted to be a better man. And he was crying and weeping towards God. It was not a very intimate person in his life, but he wanted to have his life changed. And that then in that struggle, in that agony, he suddenly heard as if a child's voice from the neighboring house, Tole lege, take up and read. And he first wondered if it's a child's game or if someone is just singing. Then he understood it's God's word for him. And he picked up his Bible and just opened it somewhere, and it was Romans 3:13 and 14, coincidentally, which was exactly the answer to his anguish. And at the end of his recounting of this story, he says, I seized, opened, and in silence read that section on which my eyes first fell. No further would I read, those two verses only. Nor needed I, for instantly at the end of the sentence, by a light, as it were, of serenity infused into my heart, all the darkness of doubt vanished away. That's what the Word of God is. So when we read in our first reading, when your Word goes forth, it gives light. It was true for Jesus. It was true for St. Augustine. And it's, of course, a truth for us. 26 years ago, I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. And the specific word was from Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door I will come in and dine with you and you with me. And I took him by his word and invited him in, and he came. Then in 1991, another word became very alive for me from Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I understood that there should be a new translation of the Bible made into Czech that would be both alive, living, and powerful, and sharp. And just some 17 years later, it became a reality. Tole lege. Pick it up, open it, read it. It was good for Jesus. It was good for Augustine. It's certainly good for us, not to just click on I agree, but actually let God, who spoke to Jesus and through him, speak to us and through us as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us today. We thank you that you are not a silent God. We thank you for your precious word that became flesh. We ask you to open our hearts again and to make us your hungry disciples, to remain in your words so that we become free people, so that we can draw our identity and our purpose in this life from you, from your will, through your word. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.